Hey, David.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, my guest is David Pratt, author of Looking After Joey. A great book about a porn star that pops out of a DVD and into the hearts and minds of a gay couple. David, are you there? Oops, we've got a problem here. I'm going to keep calling. I'm going to try to call David right now. So give me a moment. We're having a little technical difficulty. 6767675. Oops, I lost him. I'll just keep talking. David won in 2011. David Pratt won David Pratt won a 2011 Lambda Literary Award for his debut novel, Bob the Book. His story collection, My Movie, from Chelsea Station Editions, includes new work and short fiction originally published in Christopher Street. Bob the Book was a book about a book in a gay bookstore. And hey, Bob. Hey, Bob the Book. It's David, how are you?
I'm here.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Good.
Yes, I'm here.
Let's get started. Great. We had a little technical difficulty with the phones tonight. We had a storm here in Fort Lauderdale. God only knows what that does. Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I was just telling the listeners a little bit about Bob the Book. I'm kind of giving them a segue into Looking After Joey. You have written two really funny novels. You're a comedic novelist in my book. That's fun. Tell me, how did you come up with the Looking After Joey motif?
Well, I did a short story many years ago called Calvin Gets Sucked In. And what Calvin got sucked into was a porn video, a gay porn video. He's a kind of lonely guy. Living in New York City. And when Jameson Currier, who published Bob the Book, put together a short story collection with me, Calvin Gets Sucked In was one of the stories he chose, and it attracted some attention. A lot of people said it was one of their favorites. The short story collection is called My Movie, and there's a lot else in it that is wonderful and that has movies and video and various kinds of fantasy projections as the theme. And, I thought at the end of Calvin Gets Sucked In, I thought that, he eventually comes out of the video again, and, he's not been successful in getting Joey to come with him. Joey is his romantic obsession, who was a character in the video. And so what he does, he has to come back to this world, and he's still in love with Joey, and that's kind of where that story ends. And I thought, well, there could be a companion story where Joey comes out of the video into this world.
And then
I thought, if someone stepped out of not an actor, but the actual character, the porn character stepped out of a porn film into this world, the first thing they would do is go back. Because it would just be completely terrifying here.
So
what would happen is that Joey would not be able to go back. We'll find a way for you. Somehow the magic doesn't work, and Joey can't go back. And then I thought, well, that's not a story; that's a novel.
Okay.
So, and that was the beginning of it. And I thought that it would also give me a lot of opportunities to have some fun with contemporary Manhattan stuff and contemporary gay Manhattan. The contemporary gay world, because this young man, even though he is a character in a porn film, doesn't really understand gay. In the porn films, it's always like the girlfriend is away for the weekend.
They're straight.
which is a running gag in this novel. Calvin and his best friend sit down to teach Joey all he has to learn to be a gay man in New York City today, and the first thing he tells him is he's not gay.
Says, my girlfriend's away
for the weekend. he says, my girlfriend's away for the weekend. And so, Peachy, Calvin's friend, is just dumbstruck, and Calvin says, let me handle this. And he says, Joey, what's your girlfriend's name? He doesn't know. He says,
right.
Where is she? And he doesn't know. She's away for the weekend. He says, Joey, do you know what a weekend is? And Joey's like,
right.
No. So they have to teach him some pretty basic stuff, and they also attempt to teach him, you know, about Barbara and Liza and Stephen Sondheim and,
right.
You know, all of these various figures that he's going to have to know about to mingle with their set. And, of course, it all kind of goes wrong.
Sure.
Hilarious.
But you saw that coming. That coming when you read it. You know that he's going to flub up and people are just going to look at him funny. But there's a whole bunch of other things that are just hilarious that I would never thought of when a character pops out of a porn film, and that is occupations. Because in the porn world, everyone is either a pizza delivery boy, a cable guy, a pool cleaner, or what was the, there was another one, I don't remember, policeman or something.
I think the one that Joey sort of knows how to do is be a personal trainer, but...
Right, personal course, trainer,
you know,
right.
You do 2 minutes of personal training, and then you're getting
started.
Busy.
Right.
So,
right.
The only thing that they can do with him is Peachy, who's Calvin's friend, who's sort of the fixer. Peachy is
right.
The guy who's got, three lemon zesters, a chocolate fork, and knows which recording of A Little Night Music is the best one.
Right.
So Peachy manages everything, and Peachy lets
right.
Joey come and work for him, which is sort of essential for it to happen that way because Joey, as far as the job, Joey kind of had to be gotten off stage.
Right.
Because a real person stepping out of a porn movie would just completely fail at life here.
Sure.
Joey succeeds, so that has to happen sort of off stage, how he actually learns everything necessary to answer a phone for Peachy and help him in his business. We kind of can't see that.
Right. No, I understand.
Interesting. But the guys, it was an interesting exercise in what do you tell and what do you not tell.
Right.
How do you keep people believing, even though, of course, generally you keep people believing by making sure they want to believe. And I think the way these men all love each other very much, but the way that it's kind of them against a world of crazy people keeps people engaged. You know, Peachy, Calvin, Joey, it's no real spoiler to say Joey eventually gets a boyfriend. He does. It's kind of the four of them against this cast of characters who are kind of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
The object is to take Joey to a big fancy party, kind of a la My Fair Lady, to see that he's learned all his lessons on how to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And simply getting to this party is kind of madness, of an amusing kind.
But the readers should know it's a
party,
fire... Sorry, I'm sorry. It's a Fire Island party, which makes it even more exciting and fun and more pitfalls because when you leave Manhattan and go into Fire Island, you have another layer of gayness. You know, you have the layer of gayness on Manhattan, but Fire Island adds yet another layer and more texture to that how to be gay, how to behave on Fire Island.
It's a big house in the Pines, which is the ritzy section. It's a house built by a man whose entire empire was built by selling lubricant and condoms. And at the height of the AIDS crisis, selling condoms that were with names that suggest they're especially safe when they really aren't any different from other condoms. And that the connection is Calvin is Joey's sort of host, who is Calvin's TV where Joey showed up. Calvin used to work for this guy.
Uh-huh.
So Calvin sort of feels to be a little revenge in bringing gorgeous Joey to this party and showing that he, too, is part of what his friend Peachy calls the gay aristocracy. And there's this gorgeous tiger wood deck and glass sculptures everywhere. But it turns out that this lubricant king actually, his ill-gotten gains were gained for a good cause, maybe.
Right. So you have a villain turning into a hero.
That would be a spoiler if I brought it up. Sorry?
Yeah, we won't do that. We won't do that right now. But you have an amazing way of bringing real characters out of some very, very non-traditional subjects. Last year, we spoke about, 2 years ago, we talked about Bob the Book. Bob the Book was a runaway hit. It is about a gay book in a gay bookstore, a crumbling gay bookstore, and you pick up the book thinking, what is this book? And then you realize that Bob is a real person. You make this two-dimensional thing on paper turn into someone that you worry about, who has feelings, who has hopes, who has dreams. And in your second novel that just came out, Looking After Joey, and we're going to talk about the promotion of this in a minute, you have a two-dimensional porn character, a character who never sees darkness, never ages. Porn characters don't age, you know that. He comes out not knowing who parents are. That was another thing I wanted to bring up. You know, not only is his girlfriend away, the only older people he knows are parents, and they're also away for the weekend.
Yeah, years ago, there was one particular porn film I remembered where, back in the days when feature porn films really sort of had plots, I don't know now, because, if I want to see something erotic, you go online and you see a clip that's, 10 or 15 minutes long at most.
Right,
but the days of the feature porn film, there was this one where, this mother and father say, well, boys, we're going up to the lake, you behave yourselves, and they disappear, and they, of course, never return. Which is, it's almost like a kind of fairy tale motif, parents who vanish on you, and, of course, the boys get busy, and so that's Joey's memory. He thinks he had a mother once.
But she left.
And now he's afraid. First of all, he's afraid, and there's a whole idea that this world is some other world's hell. And that's sort of what Joey embodies. Joey thinks he's, although he doesn't know the word hell, that's kind of where he thinks he's landed. And so he thinks that his mother and what he used to know, even though it had its problems too, he thinks that all that has been taken away because he did something bad. When Calvin is inside the porn video himself, Joey and some of the other characters refer to them, and they are watching, and they won't like this or they won't like that.
Right.
So it was a sort of paradise where everyone felt very watched and obligated. And Joey's afraid he displeased someone and was sort of thrust out of Eden into Calvin's world. And, of course, he would dump Calvin's world in a second, but he can't. The magic formula for crossing back doesn't work.
Right, like the Wizard of Oz.
He taps the shoes and nothing happens. Only the ritual for traveling between this world and the porn world is a little different.
Right.
Another spoiler I will not give away.
No, we will not give that away. I'm not giving anything
away.
In a way, though, we just talked about some of the fantasies in the porn film world, but in some of our, in not that I'm a shallow thinker, but in popular gay culture, we don't want to age. We don't really want parental involvement. Most gay men don't want that much to do with women or girlfriends. So in a way, that little fantasy world that we buy for a few moments or 10 or 15 minutes is really a desire, a real desire that maybe, this is like, be careful what you wish for, and all of a sudden Calvin got what he wished for. And it was really kind of a delightful little, thing all of a sudden at the beginning when Calvin goes into the porn film and finds out, it's a lot of fun, but, nobody really has any depth or anything going on. I'm going to get into like the promotion of this book because it did have some unusual aspects. You made a movie trailer a book trailer. Is that what we're calling it? Okay, I don't know what to call these things. They're all so new to me.
I think that's the terminology. This is my first one.
Okay. Well, it's actually – I've seen one before, but this is the best one I've seen. And by the way, everyone that's watching this, you can call in at 805-830-8355. It is working, right? David got in. We must have had – we had a storm here, so there was some trouble. Go ahead.
The number that you first gave me,
didn't work.
It said non-working, and then you gave me another one, and that's the one that worked.
Okay, I must have been – oh, it's my fault, typo. Okay, we'll forget all about that. But let me go ahead and tell people that if you're watching this on the show page, you have a link, Vimeo link, V-I-M-E-O link, to this really funny, well-done, very classy book trailer. What made you do this?
Well, I wanted to shoot my own cover image because I had a specific idea, both about how Joey should look and about what should be portrayed. I wanted somehow a signal on the front that it was a comedy.
Right.
And I wanted him to have a certain look. And he's got a bowl of cereal, which is actually a reference to a small running joke in the novel. So I had a friend of mine who actually, she's a photographer here in New York. She knows more gay men than I do. And I said, I gave her a copy of the manuscript. I said, can you find me someone who can play this role? And so she did. And we had a very nice photo session here at our house. This, my husband's in my bedroom, you see on the cover of the book, with the model. His name is Nicholas Borum. He's actually more actor than model, which was very helpful. And I knew that I knew there needs to be a video trailer these days of some kind. So I had the camera, and what I did was I shot the shoot. I actually shot the photo shoot.
Good.
And then, each person got a little more because they participated in a second product. But essentially, it was documenting the photo shoot as a way of coming up with a trailer that did not take extra time, a whole lot of extra money, an extra set or props or anything.
Good.
And, of course, it leads the set of images of Nicholas posing leads right into the cover itself, which is what we were doing.
Great.
And then the music was done by a friend of mine named Chris Olson and a fabulous young folk band called Tandafan, very big on Long Island now, and they're starting to get well-known. They sang, and it's actually a fictional song from the book. At one point, Calvin and Peachy take Joey to Broadway to see a fictional jukebox musical. And for totally no other reason than for having fun, I get to make fun of the most popular jukebox musical in the world, let's say.
Right.
And including some songs. And so one of those songs was turned into the music for the trailer. It was a lot of fun.
That's great. Well, because people are different. People have websites and Instagram accounts for books and Facebook accounts, and they Twitter, they do blogs, they do personal appearances. I know you've made many personal appearances in the last few weeks for Looking After Joey. You have. I've
been
following you.
I've been on a blog,
honey. I know. Well, haven't we all? So, and it's just so different now. Even since I've started this show 4 years ago, there have been so many changes in publishing. And this was not – I want to explain to my readers, this was not a self-published book. This was by Wild Press, right? Wild City Press, yes. And you can get the book. You can get all of David's books on Amazon.com. My movie, Bob the Book, and Looking After Joey. They're all available on Amazon. And they're great reads. I've been telling everybody, when I read the book, I'm a Kindle guy, and I'm out in public a lot, and I start laughing. People say, what are you reading? And I tell them, and it's always funny when I have to explain either, what I'm reading, but it was so much fun to explain. Well, I'm reading about a porn character that pops off the screen and starts to live with this group of people. And they go, okay. So it's great. You've got a great imagination. All right. So now that we've seen your bedroom in the movie and on the video, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. Is Joey your fantasy?
That's the direction we're going in, huh?
Is the direction. Hey, I'm married to a psychiatrist. I'm married to a Freudian psychiatrist. I get to ask questions. He does. Who is Joey? Is he your fantasy? Is he your alter ego? Or were you him in a past life?
that's kind of interesting. Joey is, if anything, not my sexual fantasy. He may be my fantasy son. And again, I don't want to give away any spoilers from the book about sort of how things proceed. But, you know, of all the different porn types who mm-hmm. Calvin could have fallen in love with, I
right.
chose the sort of, you know, the innocent schoolboy.
Uh-huh.
Punky, but innocent and young.
Right.
If you're an old person like me and remember the 80s, the actor Mike Henson would often
sure.
play this type.
Right.
I can't think who else. But he was like, you know, it's always the, you know, he's propositioned by the older guy, and it's always like, well,
right.
I got a geometry test, but
right.
well, maybe
right.
I can say, you know.
Right, he was in spring break, and there was the coaches and the wrestling coach. Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, the type would wear a varsity jacket and all that sort of
right.
thing.
We are dating ourselves, aren't we?
We are. Although the types still exist.
Sure, sure.
And then, you know, but there are many other types in that porn universe. But really,
oh, yeah.
Calvin's impulse is both erotic and paternal. And I don't think
uh-huh.
those things are mutually exclusive. You know,
no, they're not.
Having a child is very erotic.
Correct.
In a certain way, and there are all kinds of boundaries we place on it. Many of them,
right.
most of them, very good and very necessary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it is an erotic thing, and as Joey acclimates to this world, he still does need Calvin often. And when Calvin's able to offer to help, it's mostly warm, but sometimes it's a little hot too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, you talked about, you know, time does not pass in the porn world, and it does pass here. And there's one scene where Joey is just obsessed with the fact his fingernails are growing, and so he knows time is passing. And he doesn't quite
right.
know what that means. But he knows that time passing is creepy and weird, and he doesn't like it. And Calvin's trying to comfort mm-hmm. him, and he was sitting on Joey's bed, and he's holding him, and it's kind
mm-hmm.
of exciting, but also just, you know, being there for Joey is exciting
right.
to him
right.
as well. So
right.
I think that there's more of a paternal fantasy than an erotic one
mm-hmm.
In my creating Joey. But as I say, the two are not mutually exclusive.
No, they're not. And people have who've had children who are gay, like myself. I have a 37-year-old son, and so I know exactly what you're talking about. I raised him, and there were many moments where, you know, I knew that I was I had to be very careful. But there were issues that you know, when he, especially when he was becoming sexual, that I started feeling aroused hearing about his sexual, you know, what his sexual issues were and dating and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
became, you know, and I caught myself going, God, that's creepy. But then I found out that that's totally normal, that happens to all parents, that's
yeah.
heterosexual and gay. It's just part of a parenting that, you know, you were that person at one point, and you're seeing yourself in a different light. So what's next? What are you working on next?
I'm working on a novel for young adults.
Okay.
Interestingly, I will, you know, have an 18-year-old protagonist.
Okay, great.
18-year-old.
They're big readers. By the way, they're our biggest. They're my biggest followers. The 18 to 24-year-olds. My Google Blog Talk Radio demographics actually can figure out how old people are by what
wow.
I know well by what if they're on a smartphone, if they do it at 4 o'clock in the morning, where they are, they get a profile of these people. And I'm an 18 to 28 year old young adult. We've had a lot of gay vampire people. We've had a lot of gay bromance novelists on, and I had to change everything when I found out that. This Stonewall Live has a very young audience, the exact opposite of what I expected.
Uh-huh.
And they are the largest consumers of gay novels, buying them by right now.
Uh-huh. I should mention, and I know you'll back me up on this, Bob the Book has quite a following of young people also, which surprised
right.
me.
I'm not surprised.
I thought of it as pitched a little more toward kind of 30s, 40s, 50s.
Uh-uh.
In fact, I've heard from a lot of college students.
Right,
right. One friend of mine who works for HEOP and some associated programs
uh-huh.
in Hamilton, where I went, actually for a while was handing Bob out to young people who were just coming out. Because
right,
she felt it
right.
handled some of the issues, but did it in a way that
right.
did not make it overwhelmingly intense.
Right.
So,
right.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I've been, no, it's okay. I was board chair of the Stonewall Library and Archives for many years, and I've been looking at gay literature a lot. And I've been talking to the professionals who lecture in this all the time, and we're like in phase three of gay lit. The first one was the angst and the suicides and the very depressing novels, and then of course we had the AIDS crisis, and every single book had dead people and taking care of them and hope and prayer and brotherhood. And now we're in phase three where people are writing books and the characters just happen to be gay. And unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not sure which to say, but a lot of the young people are just kind of over the angst thing because they came out when they were 13. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, here in Broward, I live in Broward County. I only lived in big gay neighborhoods all my life. We have, you know, every high school here has a GSA. They come out at 13. We have gay proms, you know, big deal. You know, it's not a, so they're not, and of course they're not going to identify with the AIDS crisis. They knew it was there, but it's like the Civil War, and they just want to read mm-hmm. something that means something to them. And Bob the Book, I saw that as a young adult novel, a coming out book. I saw it as a coming out novel right away. This one is more of, again, I think it's a novel. It's a fantasy novel, like a funny Twilight Zone, you know, like do 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 and.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
again, you know, looking after Joey is a great story, and it does. And yes, it's gay. Yes, there's you know, you use gaystocracy,
oh, yeah.
And there's another word. I'm not gonna do a spoiler, but there's a better word than that I've been using since, you know, since I'm not gonna say it because I don't wanna give it away. It's a surprise. But anyway, there's some great stuff in there, but, you know, and I enjoyed it, of course, but I think it really has a lot of universal appeal, and that's going to appeal to the younger, and they're a lot more sophisticated as far as seeing through, you know, the novels that start out on, oh, I'm staying in, I'm so over pride and the angst and the
right.
coming out and the whole shtick. Yeah, I don't want to be cynical and an old queen, but that's what I kind of am. But so after that, so how many, have you had some young people come out to your readings?
Let's see, I actually did a reading at Bureau of General Services Queer Division in Manhattan last night. There were a couple of young people there. There
was
really, actually, all ages and all genders, orientations, and gender expressions last night.
Good deal.
It was really great. There was one definitely straight couple, I know, because they were with me. Another
uh-huh.
seemed to be, there was a gay woman there. There were some older gay men there. There was a younger, someone who possibly might have identified as trans. I didn't know. Ken
uh-huh.
Hearn did not go up and have a conversation. But there was really, there was quite a range. I read with Rafe Hayes, who was the author
uh-huh.
of this terrific new suspense novel called The Next, gay suspense novel,
uh-huh.
also
great.
Out from Wild City.
Great.
So we read together.
Great.
You know, and I read it Saints and Sinners. That's a particular demographic because people
uh-huh.
are kind of experienced in the gay book world who can, of course, afford the weekend in New Orleans.
Right, right.
And so on. So not a great many young people.
No.
But, you know, I have a bunch of readings ahead and appearances ahead late
good
summer
for you.
And early fall.
Okay, great. Great. Well, we've got 1 minute left, and in my last minute, I always ask the same question, and that is, what would happen if a young, aspiring, kind of Joey-looking kid came up to you with a corduroy jacket with leather patches and said to you, I want to be just like you. How do I do it?
I would say, get new heroes.
How do I start
I would say,
writing?
Kid, let me introduce you to a couple of people you really want to be like.
No, I think that'd be fun. But really, that does happen to a lot of writers. Like people come up to me and say, how do I get my book published? How do I be just like you? I want to be a famous writer. I want to be, you know, I want to have that insight. And
the book was kind of published by accident, and that's the kind of the disappointing story I have to tell people. I'm saying it's not like I, submitted to 15 agents and 20 editors, and somebody remembered it and said, I started up a little publishing concern. And you set up a bookstore around, boom.
Yeah.
So it's accident. I keep going and finish stuff. That's what the people I know who have publication issues, their issues about finishing.
Right.
So it's harder than to get published. Finishing can be harder.
Well, listen, we've come to the end of the road here. It's fastest 30 minutes in life. Sorry about the phone number. I must have had sticky fingers.
No problem.
We got it, and this will be it was a great evening. Thank you, David, and good night.
Thank you, Nate.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.